Hace Inglés presenta Into the Story, el podcast para aprender inglés con historias reales contadas por gente de todo el mundo. If you ask any traveler what would be their worst nightmare while traveling overseas, it's likely that many will respond to be stuck in a country far from home with no passport. In today's episode, we hear Christine's story of how she unexpectedly ended up in this exact situation, without her bags, without her passport, and without a warm coat on the border between Poland and what was at the time the Soviet Union.
And we don't have a passport. We don't have wallets. We don't have any kind of ID. It's February in the Polish-Russian border. We don't have coats.
In today's story, Christine talks about being a young adult traveling around the world solo and what it was like to be a traveler passing through the Soviet Union in the 1980s. You'll hear Christine talk about long train journeys, strict rules for currency exchange, and train stations guarded by soldiers carrying big machine guns. We're calling this episode Stuck in the Station. Before we begin listening, let's talk about some of the vocabulary and expressions you'll hear Christine say. Firstly, a bunch of. Bunch is a word that refers to a collection of particular things. For example, we can say a bunch of grapes, un racimo de uvas. But there is also a more informal use of the word bunch that means un montón de algo. Christine talks about saving a bunch of money in order to travel. Next, ruble, spelt R-U-B-L-E. This is the name for the Russian currency. At the time of Christine's story, rubles were used as the main currency in the Soviet Union. Border. The border of something refers to the outer edge of an object or place. For example, we could say that there was a border of flowers around the house. We can also talk about the border of a piece of land or the border of a country, la frontera. In fact, Christine's story took place at the border between Poland and the former Soviet Union. Corridor. A corridor refers to a narrow strip of land or a passageway. You'll hear Christine talk about the corridor leading to the immigration counter that she had to pass through to return to the train station. And finally, to get into trouble. To get into trouble means to encounter a difficulty or a problem. This could be something wrong, illegal, or forbidden. For example, you could say that the children got into trouble for eating all the cookies. Or the woman got into trouble with the police for not wearing her seatbelt. To get into trouble. And one last thing before we listen to Christine's story. When we record the podcast, we always ask storytellers to speak clearly, but also as naturally as possible. And sometimes this means that they speak a little bit quickly for our listeners. A really useful feature on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcast is the option to slow down the speed of the audio. As always, you have the transcript, vocabulary list, and listening comprehension activities on our website, acenglais.com/podcast. Okay, let's get into the story.
My name is Christine. I had finished university and I'd worked quite hard and saved up a bunch of money, and I decided I wanted to travel. And so I actually traveled right around the world on my own. I was pretty open to new adventures and new experiences. I felt like I had reasonably good sense of when I was going into situations that were dangerous. I left Toronto in sort of September, and I stopped in Vancouver and Hawaii and Fiji and New Zealand and Australia. went to Bangkok, and then flew to Hong Kong, where I spent some time. And then I got on a train in Hong Kong and took the train from Hong Kong to Beijing, and then Beijing up through Mongolia, and then up into Irkutsk, where we stopped for several days. And all of this at that time was in the Soviet Union, and it was very controlled. So the tickets were purchased through the Soviet government. The Soviet Union at that time internally was quite calm. There was not any significant unrest. I didn't feel unsafe at any time. There were other times on this trip I did feel unsafe, but once I got into the Soviet bloc, no. Because it's so tightly controlled, there were people watching me who were from the police. And we were not allowed to get off the train in any place but where we had permission to. At this stage, we're on a train going from Moscow to Berlin. And in the car with me, there were two Australians and a Swiss guy. As we got to the Polish border, when you cross borders at that time, the immigration people come through the train and they take your passport. And so you sit on the train and they get off the train with everybody's passports. And that was fine, except that we had rubles, we had Russian money. And when we had bought the money, you're obliged to buy cash as you go into the Soviet Union at that time. And they tell you very, very firmly and very strictly that you have to change it back. You're not to take the rubles out of the country. The two Australians were like, I'm not worried about it. But the Swiss guy and I were like, no, we have to change this money. And so we went to get off the train, and the lady in charge, she didn't speak any English or any language that the Swiss guy spoke either. But she was like, go that way. So we ended up, the two of us, running because we don't know how long the train is going to stay there for. Like, we don't know when it's leaving. We don't know if we have 5 minutes or half an hour. So we're running through the train station, sort of waving money at people going, where do we change the money? Change money. And they head us over, point us this way and that way and this way. And we get to the bank and we change the money successfully into American dollars. And we go to go back to the train and we discover that we've crossed into Poland. We're no longer in the Soviet Union. I don't know how we did it. There was nothing that obviously said, you're leaving the Soviet Union or you're entering Poland. We just sort of went down hallways where we were pointed to. So the Swiss guy and I end up in this little narrow corridor. And we don't have a passport. We don't have wallets. We don't have any kind of ID. It's February in the Polish-Russian border. We don't have coats. And I had a few American dollars, that's it. And at that time, as when you went to a border crossing in the Eastern Bloc, you would walk into a narrow corridor. The immigration official was behind, there was sort of a desk height shelf and then a glass pane. And there's no one behind the glass. And the doors are locked. Like, you can't, once you're in, you can't get out again, right? You're stuck in there and banging on the glass. Hello, hello. And the train station it's a typical big train station with a very high ceiling. So this has they're walls, but without a roof, right? So you can see the roof far above you. And we bang on the glass for a while and sort of, hello, hello, for a little while, and nothing much happens. And we're quite worried that the train is going to leave without us. We have no idea how long it's going to wait, and neither of us wanted to end up in this tiny little village on the border of Poland and Russia with nothing but the money in our hands. That would have been bad. I decided that the best thing to do would be to climb up so I could look over the wall at the people on the other side and sort of say, can someone come to the immigration? We're in here. And so I hopped up and put one foot on the doorknob and one on the sort of desk and pulled myself up over the top of the wall. And the Swiss guy behind me was freaking out. He's like, Christine, no, don't do this. And as I appeared up over the top of the wall, I heard all of the soldiers on the other side, of course, are carrying machine guns, and you hear the safety come off, click, click, click off all the machine guns as they turn and aim them at you. And I'm like, hi. And I'm pointing at the train because I can see it going, we're off the train. We need to get on the train. And they're all like looking at me with the guns aimed at me. I'm like, oh. And this Russian military woman came up and pointed for me to get back down again, which I did. And the Swiss guy was like, Christine, please no. After a while, I got back down. The Swiss guy wiped his brow in relief. And the door opened behind the glass pane and this man came through and he had a big belly and his pants are tied below his belly and he's wearing a white tank top and it's dirty and there's food stains down the front of it, like a total cliche. And he's scratching himself and he looks at us and we're looking at him going, you're the one who's going to save us. And he goes, passport. And we're like, on the train, they're on the train. We don't have passports, they're on the train. So he goes out again and we can hear rumbled conversation in the background. And eventually comes back in and sort of waves us to go through. And the door clicks open and we run out and all the soldiers are there. I'm sort of waving them at this. I run by like, hi, it's me again. And the lady who was in charge of us on the train, I suspect she would have gotten into trouble if she'd lost us because she was really upset that we had not come back to the train much faster. So she basically grabbed us by our clothing and threw us onto the train. The Australians said, oh, we were really worried about you. And we're like, yeah, we were worried about us too. And they said to us, well, we decided what we were going to do if you didn't get on the train. We were going to take all of your things and throw them out the window so you could get them. And it was like, it would have been much better if you had, how would you report us as missing when you got to Berlin if you had thrown everything we owned out of the train? Right now, I am sitting in my boat with my husband and my dog. And we are in a little tiny town in Poissy on the River Marne outside of Paris. We've been living on our boat for 2 years. We hope to take the boat down the Danube all the way to the Black Sea and enter the Mediterranean. And then we'll be in the Mediterranean and we want to visit Turkey and Greece and Croatia and Italy. And then I don't know what we'll do. Maybe we go down to Tunisia and come back or go down to Morocco on the boat or go back up into France, and that's at least 6 years right there. So I guess my moral of the story, as we look at the EU now, is that this sort of thing, I mean, yes, there's borders where you have to go through, and we've all gone through immigration as we fly. But with the European Union, we don't have to do this anymore. You just get in your car and drive from one country to the next. So yeah, the EU is a great thing. And if someone misses their train, keep their ID so you can report them. Don't throw it out the window into the countryside.
As Christine mentioned, she does in fact live on a sailboat with her husband and their dog, Stella, who you may have heard playing in the background. At the time we recorded the story, she was in France, hoping to come down to Catalonia for the winter to spend time on dry land with her kids, exploring the mountain areas and avoiding the colder months at sea. We wish Christine all the best on her future adventures. Si aún no lo has hecho, suscríbete ahora a Into the Story in Spotify, iTunes, o tu plataforma preferida. And if you love this podcast, and we really hope you do, leave us a rating and review. Thank you for listening. Until next time, we hope you have a good time, or at least a good story to tell.